Things are getting interesting, wouldn't you agree, my friend? The city besieged by the bog lurches, factions are springing up left and right, an imposter claims the throne. Oratrios had fallen on hard times. And still there was no word from the actual Catalina. I still wonder what kept her away. Was it fear of an assassin's blade, or a quest to find something to help solidify her rule? Was she strengthening her alliances, or weakening her enemies? Regardless, it meant that the factions in the city were allowed time to solidify. Hopefully whatever she spent her time doing that year with the crew was worth it in the end.
Alright, so we are back on the final year. There's a fake Catalina that has entered the city. Things are looking bad for them, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Mandy, what is your favorite faction? Or faction you'd like to expound upon?
So the faction that I am going to talk about is the Friends of the Duke Rebellion, which kind of extends into like the Outlaws Theater and
right.
The whole rebellion.
Yeah, and usually Companion Sale would like end and resolve in the third year, but we're not doing that because we're using this as setup. So I've made up I want each person to tell me like what their favorite faction is, and then have them expound upon how they've kept themselves in power or like are still a player in the game when Catalina and co end up back with in the city. So Mandy, how does the Friends of the Duke stay relevant?
So sorry, I'm pulling up a name. I feel like that's a good chunk of what Companion's Tale ends up being. And I don't think you're supposed to come up with names for things, but because of, like, the situation, we're just always having to pull up names.
I think specifically they're like, no names.
Yeah.
But I don't mind names coming up.
Okay, yeah, I think I like that. But, okay. So, despite the current siege on the I would say because of the current siege on the city, the city guard has been giving much less attention to the growing rebellion. They know, obviously, the guard knows that they're still there and they are still a thorn in their side. But I think that actually has allowed the rebellion to get more of a foothold in the city. And I think what that means is that they have actually set up like a home base. You know, before it was much more underground, much more secretive. But like, if the city guard could give their full attention to it, they would be able to find it pretty obviously now. But since they can't, they're able to get away with that. And I think they have, I think that they have set up shop at the Vagabond Bog Tavern. So that is their foothold in the city right now. Did that answer the question?
Yes. I'm going to ask you a follow-up. If you were to name a district that the Vagabond Tavern is in, Vagabond Bog Tavern is in, what type of district would it be in? Like, is it like a workers' district? Is it by the shorefront? Is it the lower class area?
It's definitely in a lower class area. I don't know. I'm thinking right now. I would say it is probably in like a lower class workers district because those are the people who are getting hit the hardest in that, you know, they're no longer being asked for opinions. They're kind of getting stomped on in just whatever the nobility wants to do. So, yeah. I think that is what is happening.
Alrighty.
So, Caitlin, I've got to ask, what is that on the sign you're drawing?
I was trying to make the bogmonger.
Oh, okay.
Like a little frog as the symbol of the tavern.
Yeah, I can see it. But as you were drawing it, it looked to me like you were drawing a ghost with his hands in the air.
All right, Vinny. Are you telling me a tale of glory or injury?
Does anyone have strong feelings about using Rival? Because I think I'm going to use Rival. Of the companions.
Go for it.
I think I'm going to do glory. I'm going to tell a tale of glory about a rival. Okay, so this is going to be a... the problem is I don't have an accent for this yet, so
that's fine.
I'm not going to even try an accent on this one. because it's going to be another Vestan character, another Vestan person. This is overheard, or not overheard, this is a conversation told to a bartender, like a barkeep, innkeeper kind of person, at a bar in, gosh, now I have to figure out place.
Well, there's Montaigne, Vodace, the Sarmatian Commonwealth.
And what is Vodace meant to be?
Italy, I think.
Italy.
Okay. Yeah, this will have been at a bar slash inn in Vodace. Or Vodace, however you say that. Oh, you should have seen her. She was just cutting through everybody and just... I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Just at the way she fights, the way she uses her runes, it was ridiculous. And not only that, she was one of my kinsmen. I really hope I can run into her again someday, and I'm going to work my ass off to try to get as strong as her, and don't know if I'd fight alongside her or against her, but either way, I want to get like her.
It's a good story.
Alrighty.
I feel like you're biased, though. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Well, it's easiest to make stories about my own character because it's the character I know the best.
I think, Vinny, you should do it again, and this time just go hard negative against somebody else. You know what I mean? This positive about you doesn't work. I want negative about Caitlyn's character.
You need to neg Caitlyn more so that she's into you.
Oh, and did I give the name? This guy's name was Magnus Gunnarsson.
Magnus Gunnarsson is a good name.
Well, if you have another kid, you can use Magnus Gunnarsson for first and middle names.
Somehow I don't think I'm going to get away with that one.
Caitlyn, you're the witness. Tell me what's going on in the city.
Yeah. Am I allowed to talk about the siege?
Yeah.
Okay. The siege is not going well for Eratrios. I guess it's going well for the...
Do sieges ever really go well for the siege city?
The Boglurch faction. But the months are drying out. Resources are getting scarce. The Outlaws Theater is having fewer performances, and so the few that they do, they try to go over the top, but it's kind of compensating for the fact that there aren't as many. Various, like, the guard is obviously involved with defending the city, but they've started conscripting regular folks at this point to be defending against the invasion, and so everyone's kind of feeling the pinch.
All right. Cody.
Yes.
Give me a nice little lore tidbit.
The lore tidbit is culture, correct?
Yes.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I have to pull up the culture wheel. This was not on recording, by the way, but I just need everyone to know that we admitted after we had all hung up or stopped recording that several of us pulled up the culture wheel to see if we could, to like remind ourselves what to use for lore stuff.
Oh, there's a wheel? I just Googled literally like culture.
Oh yeah, here, I'll put it in the chat. It is super helpful.
Yeah, I imagine this being a little bit easier when you play the game right and like make up a whole world so you can just be like anything and instead of just be like, what does this town do?
Yeah.
So the way I imagine this siege working, right? The army rolls up to town. They don't immediately start attacking per se. They just block all the gates, and I think they start building siege equipment just to like start flinging rocks into the city. It's not necessarily meant to bring down the wall or destroy everything. It's like a harrying thing. Like they're just trying to annoy and break the spirit of. They're just trying to break the spirit of the city, right? But along with that is a distinct dividing line in culture, like. The culture in the city is miserable and bleak. It's very quiet and somber. And what merriment or joy there is kind of like a gallows humor kind of thing. Like, this is pretty dire. Then there's a hard line of the wall and, like, a little bit of waste where no one, like, inside archery range. And then, like, so way off in the distance, if you stand up on, like, a tower, you can see, like, big pavilion tents set up and occasionally knights jousting or duels happening. You can see, like, magician kind of jugglers performing, and it's like a general tone of like riotous merriment that is way off there in the distance that you can just barely see is like these two very juxtaposed cultures now because of what's happening.
Cool.
So the Boglerch army is just like having a party.
Yeah. They're partying. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have a steady supply line to them. You know, they are because, you know, there's not an ocean dividing this, right? So there's no reason why they cannot continuously get supplies. They know they're going to win this. So for now, this is like, you know, if you're a noble and you're, you know, like a prince or a duke or whatever, you know, your dream at some point, like your purpose is to go off on a noble conquest, right? Like that's what they are lived. It's what they live for. It's what they trade for, right? This is like the ideal version of that. They're going to win and they're not going to have to fight very hard. Like what they're looking forward to is in 4 months kicking down the gates to a starving city and slaughtering like stumbling remains of people and then being seen as saviors because they have bread. So like that's what they think is going to happen. So they're having a party until then because they're not looking down the barrel of like, oh, we're about to die. they're thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be a rout. When this happens, this is going to be like glorious. There's going to be trumpets and then all the peasants are going to love us and we're going to be able to do everyone of the city. So they're just like in party mode. But you can always just hear that in the city walls. You can always just hear, you know, like trumpeting music and cheering and laughter way off in the distance.
That feels like the worst. All right, continuing on. Vinny, how is the Cultus Falce keeping power?
The Cultus Falce is like we talked, like I created in a previous episode, previous session. They're kind of like underground vigilante justice type deals. They don't necessarily work with the Friends of the Duke Rebellion. They're not unfriendly towards them, but they're not necessarily like correlated. You know what I mean? They kind of have different goals. The cultists,
they're fine with the Friends of the Duke as long as they stay out of their way.
Kind of, yeah. That's pretty much it. Is like stay out of my way, we'll stay out of yours kind of deal. And Cultus Falce, it's like they're trying to. Like, if things were to return how they were, that'd be great for them. They'd be fine with that. But they're more focused on just getting any semblance of order in the city. Just trying to get anything under control. And so they've performed some high profile like assassinations of like nobles or shopkeepers or people that were being unruly or corrupt or whatever you want to call it. They've taken the matters into their hands a few times to the point where a lot of people of status in the city are kind of afraid of them. Like they are starting to think twice about the more corrupt things that they would be doing, or maybe trying to keep it more hidden. Like they'll still do their shady stuff, but they try to keep it more out of the open so they can avoid the wrath of the Cultus Falce. But that fear and that Cultus Falce has over some of the people is how they're still kind of keeping some power and keeping their name relevant.
So they're really just Batmaning it up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I'm not going to lie to you. Like when I was thinking of the Cultus Falce, I was thinking Batman.
So it's a group of Batmans. I'm glad we have Batman in my game. Caitlin, is your companion going to tell us a tale of hunger? About hunger or about oaths?
Hunger.
And which companion are you using? Outsider, scholar, or ally?
Ally, I guess.
All right. I, you seem really determined on that one.
As you know, things have been pretty bad here in Eretrios. The children are going on scraps, or they had been. The siege keeps on going, and the guards, I'd like to think they're doing their best, but I worry. I have to say, I worry. And it had been weeks since the ration stations had been up. I was growing a bit desperate until a box showed up on my doorstep. I thought I was dreaming, to be honest, but I wasn't about to look a gift like that in the mouth. So I took it and found enough more food than we'd seen in weeks. I shared it with our neighbors. We came together and had a meal that reminded me of old times, of times when the Duke was alive. I'm not sure who our mysterious benefactor was, but after a while I heard of other folks finding gifts like this and a sort of bedraggled crew delivering them. I know it probably wasn't much to them. They clearly had enough to go around, but it meant the world to me. And I'll be grateful if I ever get a chance to shake their hand. I certainly would.
Who's delivering the packages? I want to know. Caitlin, that didn't answer the question. You just looked down.
It's a companion thing about our crew. I thought it has to be about our crew.
I just didn't know how they got packages back to the town if they're not in the town.
I don't know. They're sailing around doing whatever.
It says they're not back in the town. You know, this might be their glorious return.
They're making little forays. The end.
Cody, tell me more about the town.
This is history now, right? Or like current events?
Events.
Current events.
That's a good question.
Just to make sure while Cody's thinking, Caitlin, the implication is that our crew is somehow helping the town.
Yes, that we have started staying closer to home.
I think, can I make an amendment to it?
Yes.
We can cut all this out. But I think what it is it's Mandy talked about like you guys having like a network of like these companions that are
Zach, I was just about to say that gives me a good idea for how to jump into my companion.
I mean, here's the thing.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
You can still do that. But Mandy was saying like there's certain companions she wants to like kind of be like a network that like come back with you. And I was going to say like you guys aren't giving the food. But these companions are like, oh, she's going to come back. Like the crew's going to come back and we're going to prep.
I am hope.
I mean, that is a pretty good line. I'll give it to him. I hate the character, but I will give it to him.
While he's thinking, can I add one more thing about Cultus Falce?
Sure.
It was something I was thinking about and then just forgot to say. So Cultus Falce is also, they're not like, they're executing justice how they see it. And that means that they are not necessarily on the side of good or bad. They're like, I'm trying to think of how do you describe them on a D&D alignment chart.
Well, they're basically the Punisher.
Yeah, kind of it. And so there was even one instance of a desperate, starving man in the city got into a fight over some food. Like there was two people struggling over, like he and another person were struggling over some food, and he killed the other guy. And Cultus Falce dealt with him as well. So it's not just the rich and powerful that they're dealing with. It's any injustice, unrest that they're trying to quell.
Infraction that they see, yeah.
Skybreakers!
There is a... So, like I mentioned before, that the sieging army set up, like, catapults to just annoy, basically, or like trebuchets. They don't think it's going to knock the wall down so much as it's just going to wreck the city and like break people's spirits. So that started to happen, that there's like a ring in the city that like if you go past that you just occasionally see rocks flying in. So like that part of the city has basically become abandoned, but it's also kind of become like a loose underground area. So there's like this dangerous zone of the city where like thieves and outlaws and cutthroats and like what remains of like some of these more like trying to take back the city for the Duke organizations might find their headquarters, you know? Like if there's one inn where people still meet, it's called like the Lucky Target, and you can see like where buildings have been destroyed around it, but this is the one that just happens to have not gotten hit yet, you know? But it's just like every time you sit in there, you're like, lightning hasn't struck here yet. Does that make it more or less likely? I don't know. But then the other half of that is there is now becoming a, like, economy within the city of, like, not recycling, scavenging, right? So you need arrows from somewhere, you need wood from somewhere, you need food from somewhere. So this dead zone is also being picked apart for, like, parts. That it's like, if we want to try to throw a rock back, we got to get that rock from somewhere, grab a chunk of building, or, you know, we need kindling for a fire. Grab it from here. So there's kind of like this scavenged area where people are looting houses or, you know, and it could be fairly affluent parts of the city or, you know, storage areas for trade and food that people are like picking over and finding. So there's kind of a band in the city that's super dangerous. You might get hit with a rocket any time. Cutthroats live there and it's being scavenged.
Don't want to live there.
Or do you? It's the most fun place in the city, kind of.
I was going to say, except for the party, but then I realized none of that's outside the city.
Depending on your definition of fun.
Mandy.
Yep.
You're the lore keeper.
Okay, I think you guys are going to like this one. This is fun. So, due to the siege, the lower classes, it's been a lot harder for them to get their alcohol. And everyone needs to find a way to relax. So a dropout from the Sorcerers of Porte found a way to give very weak drinks a kick so that it works. And people are able to get their buzz and, you know, forget their troubles for a minute. But...
Did you just have... A sorcerer invent Bud Light.
Basically. Well, so my thought is I want a negative effect to this. I'm not sure exactly what that should be if anyone has a suggestion.
Oh, they should teleport random places because it's like portal magic.
Oh my gosh.
Like you'll drink this and like there's like a 50% chance you'll just like teleport someone somewhere random in the city.
Because it's pulling energy from somewhere and so there's like a displacement. Like a switch.
That's good. I like that a lot. Okay, yeah. So that's your negative effect. Okay, I have four name options for this. So it's either the Elemental Espresso.
I like that so much.
The Demon Draft, Sizzle Spirits, or Tempest Tonic.
I feel like it has to be the Elemental Espresso because, like, I mean...
It's such a mouthful, though.
But Express is, like a way to, like, move quickly places, and it teleports you.
Well, and I would think that when you, like, when you order it, you know, it's like, can I get the espresso? But, like, that's, like, the full name, you know?
Can I add to something, what you just said, like a suggestion?
Yeah.
You don't have to yes and this. I know that's, like, the rule of improv. I kind of like the idea that it's, like, well... The Elemental Espresso, like, that might teleport you. What was the other one that you said?
So I have Elemental Espresso, Demon Draft, Sizzle Spirits, or
so
Tempest
Demon Draft
Tonic.
Might possess you? Like, I like the idea of all of these things exist. Like, you go into a place and they have these, or, like, they're, like, different...
Well, but I'm specifically talking about the one that this sorcerer, like,
right,
infused.
What I'm saying is they could make a line of these. And, like, they always have some magical side effect, because it's, like, you know... Magical moonshine, and it's like, but the side effect isn't consistent.
Magical moonshine is also a great name.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's essentially what you've made, but it's like, you know, everyone, like this guy, he has different batches, and those different batches might do different things.
Well, I like the idea he's like trying to weed the magic out. He's like, last batch, like, possessed people. We don't want that. So he tries something else, and it just like is different magic every time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My gosh. I love that.
Because all those
so
names
much.
You came up with are so good. I'm like, well, no, he does all of this.
That's good. No, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I mean, I'll write down all the names, but yeah. And I don't know, Zach, if you want us to come up with something for each of those for what they do, we can. But yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah, put those names in the glossary and we will generate. But I think Elemental Espresso makes sense for if you're ordering the espresso, you could end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
I like that a lot, Mandy.
That's a really good... piece of lore, and it's really cool, and I'm very happy about it, because it's going to have so many negative effects.
Yes.
It's going to be that thing...
Well, because, like, my original thought was, like, oh, people get addicted to it, you know, it's like the drug, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of, like, yeah, if we got other negative effects, we can do this.
It's going to be great, though, because it's going to be that thing where it's just, like, it could be beneficial for you, but it isn't ever. Like, you know, it's just, like, in theory, like, it could teleport you into, like, a bank vault. Or get you home while you're drunk. It's never done that.
Well, that, or it could do that, but it took like 3 tries, so by the time you get in there, you're hammered.
I'm in the bang vault. Why am I in a bang vault? I'm really gonna pee. You just fall asleep in the bang vault and get arrested in the morning.
So funny.
Oh. That's such a good idea, Mandy. I love it so much.
Yay!
There's been a lot of good lore tidbits. Like, a lot, and that one might be my favorite so far. Take that, Bogmonger.
Okay, I mean, I'm a little bit mad at that. Like, I'm a little bit offended, but okay, you know, I mean...
Come on, it's magical alcohol.
It is really a good... It's a good tidbit. It's a good tidbit.
I mean, even if I picked one of yours, Cody, you'd be like, that one? I think I did a better idea earlier.
No, I mean, my crowning achievement so far has definitely been the... what's it called? The cursed monk is definitely my best thing.
Oh,
I do like who came up with the gravekeepers or the gravediggers guild.
Caitlin. Was like Caitlin.
Yeah.
That one is also another really good lore tidbit we've had where it's just Caitlin's just like, yeah, we're extorting you to see your dead relatives to get them buried.
Oh, they're about to get worse.
I'm excited.
I do also like how Vinny is just like, we need Batman. This game needed more Batman, so there you go. There's my favorite ones from most people. Anyway, Caitlin, tell me about the Explorers League that you picked as your favorite before we started and how they're staying relevant, because they've been declining in power.
They have been declining in power. So the reason they start coming back is twofold. One, they are the best at running goods, and they have been for a long time. So they are the way that, like, Eretrios is getting anything of value that they cannot produce there, and you better believe they need a lot of those things during a siege. So they are milking that for all it's worth. The other thing is that they, like, after spending so much time in the sea, and particularly because up until recently they've been not particularly around here because they've been forced to, like, go on more and more journeys, they've gotten really good at weather, at, like, meteorological interpretation. And so there's a couple, like, particularly intrepid people who have been able to, like, sell that kind of information to Eretrios, because, like, the weather can totally change your battle on a given day and, like, change the course of wars. And so that kind of, like, future information has become very valuable in Eretrios, especially to the military. So they're the ones that are, like, discovering and pushing that information. And that has given them a bit of an edge.
Alrighty. Cody.
Yes.
Are you telling me a tale of anticipation or of debt?
Debt. And I am almost ready.
Are you doing the scholar or the outsider?
I'm doing the outsider.
I swear, if you make another squid voice, I will kick you off this podcast.
No, I'm not making another squid voice. There is zero squid voice happening. This is a letter addressed to Catalina that finds its way onto the boat with no name. I can just say at the end. Sorry, I don't remember how letters start. Do you ever have that thing where you don't remember how a letter starts?
Dear Catalina,
to whom it may concern.
My
dear
sorry.
Hey, you rat bastards.
Well, kind of. Dear Catalina, this is becoming quickly not worth it. Unfortunately, I can no longer provide the services that I have been for the past few months. My reputation as the grand smuggler in all of these waters is true, but the city is getting out of hand. There are dead bodies piling up. The place is dangerous. I keep nearly getting attacked every time I land. Unfortunately, the payments that you have been sending are inconsistent and no longer able to cover the fact that I'm almost dying every time I make landfall. That being said, I am still waiting for my last two payments, including hazard pay, for all of the goods that I have been smuggling into the city. You might think that since what you are doing might come across as noble or good-hearted, I would cut you a break, but it is not so. I am always paid, and I always expect your end of the bargain to be held up if mine is. There are no exceptions. So, consider my services no longer available, but my debts will be paid. That is from Luca.
He sounds intimidating and like he's definitely not going to show up ever again.
What was his title? Master Smuggler? The Grand Smuggler?
Or just, like...
I think he's a grand smuggler.
Yeah, like, whatever. I guess it's sort of like this is like him talking himself up that he has like a reputation of being the greatest smuggler, and that's true, but the city is no longer worth it, and they're not paying their debts. It's
terrible if you have a reputation as a good smuggler. Alrighty. Mandy, what's going on in the town?
This is probably going to be my weakest one of the night, because I've put a lot of thought into all the others. But for the city guard, I talked about them being spread really thin earlier, and I think that that is having two effects. One is that the guard is making more mistakes, so which kind of feeds into the other one. But they're making more mistakes. They're still managing to hold the city, but they are giving the bog lurchers? Was that it?
Monger.
No,
what?
Well,
no, the monger. Bog lurcher is the siege.
It is bog lurchers, yeah.
No, bog mongers.
No.
No, the bog monger is the festival. The bog lurchers are the people that it's based on.
Oh, is that what
the
we
bog
decided?
Lurch nobles, yes. Okay.
Oh. That's not what we decided. That's what you decided.
Oh, that was not supposed to be two separate names. My bad. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Cool.
I think it actually helps because the bog monger makes it feel like it's like a mythological thing. And then they're just like, hey, you just changed our name vaguely. You guys are jerks.
But yeah, so they are giving a little bit of ground to the bog lurchers. Bog lurches? Lurch? Whatever. And because of these mistakes, and possibly part of what is making these mistakes, is they are getting angry. They are tired. They are angry. They are lashing out at anyone and everyone. I mean, obviously, they're still being cordial and polite to the people in charge, you know, but at this point it's like a curt politeness. Like they are so over this.
Are they still loyal to Santiago?
Yes.
So they're just like super loyal to him and they're just like everyone else can just burn.
Yeah, because I think Santiago is still family to a lot of them, and there's like a loyalty there.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, they're keeping these nobles safe who are just, you know, getting angry because luxuries and goods aren't coming through because of the siege. And there's only so much they can do. And these stupid outlaws and rebels are, you know, a thorn in their side constantly, but they can't do anything about that right now. So, and I think Santiago probably, like, I don't think he's necessarily going out of his way to help them, but he's still, like, close enough with enough of them that they are defending him.
Okay. Do you think Santiago has teamed up with the imposter duchess, or no?
That is a good question. I don't think I know enough about her. What is she doing?
No one has specified.
Yeah, no one specified what the imposter is doing. I think it would depend on how she is. You know what? I'm going to say, based on what I've set up with Santiago, I'm going to say he is begrudgingly listening to her because he took over for a while. But there's something, whatever company she brought along with her, or evidence that she is Catalina, is enough that he's like, well, she's in charge now.
I imagine it kind of as like a Jafar situation.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Or he's like really trying to puppet master this whole thing.
Yeah.
And she's not having that, but necessarily, but he's like, on paper, they're allies.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it.
Alrighty. Vinny, can I have some lore?
Oh, some lore.
While he's thinking, Zach, can you let me know what it says for binding or harbinger?
Harbinger says, once the candles burned violent for a moment, revealing a hidden horror, or once the sky turned green and purple like a shattered Alexandrite. And binding says, once two souls were bound by contract, or once the agreement provided what was desired, but what was needed was what most was held out of reach.
Can you take a picture of that and just put that in the chat or send that to me?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
So, as things in the city are continuing to be terrible, I guess how common knowledge is it at this point that the Jardín Dios is an anti-magic zone?
I think we've said it's not really known.
Not really known. Okay. A small group...
Also because, like, monsters, like, took two children away there.
Right. A small group of sorcerers, magicians, whatever, magic users in town figured out the, like, kind of, they learned probably through the grapevine, like, it's not commonly known, but there's a few people, and it kind of filters through, and they did, like, their own tests. They went out to Jardín Dios and saw that, yeah, their magic wasn't as effective or not effective at all. They got there, and they, this is like a small group of maybe, like, 10 to 20 people that kind of really close together in this community, and they decided to try to figure out why the Jardín Dios is anti-magic and fix it. Because their thought behind all this is maybe if we can make this place magic again, that would solve our problems. It's just like one of these, it's almost like a superstition type of thing that they're trying to, nothing else has worked, so let's try magic.
All right.
And it's kind of like that's like this very secret thing. They're like trying to do it on the sly. They have to avoid the guards at Jardín Dios and obviously have to avoid being like kidnapped by monsters.
As you do. All right, Cody. Let's make these gravediggers terrible.
Yep. All right. So bitterness kind of started to grow, right? Just everywhere. Everyone was getting angry. Everyone felt that they were being underappreciated or just abused. And what started to happen was very quietly, no one came to get the bodies. Every time there was a dead person, no one came to get it. At first, it was like, okay, well, like, been a lot of death in the city recently. You know, a lot of bad things are happening here. It's a lot of tension. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just there aren't a lot of gravediggers left. So then they tried to find gravediggers. It was like, you know, oh yeah, you know, my neighbor, he was a gravedigger. Go ask him. That house is empty. All of the gravediggers disappeared. And then another thing happened. People started going down to the catacombs themselves to bury bodies. All right. They all died apparently somehow all at once.
With leaving no bodies around. But, you know, as you do.
I guess maybe we go. Those people didn't come back. They're gone. Then ransom notes start showing up. You want the bodies handled? We get fed first. You want to see Grandpa? No, no, you don't want to see Grandpa is what it is. You don't want to see Grandpa? We get to eat first. So now it's like the catacombs? You don't go in the catacombs. It's like payment is left, bodies are removed. You don't talk to the gravekeepers. This has become like they are entirely us and them. You don't mess with us. These doors are locked. Breaking in is punishable by death. If you want to pay respects, you pay us first, then you pay respects. It's kind of just assumed anything nice left at a grave is now the gravekeepers. So the catacombs have become like their own city. It's also become one of those things where there's a lot of anger towards this because, you know, it's just a group of people that basically ransomed their services and now get to be treated better. And so there's like all these rumors about like, oh, they have tunnels out of the city. They're coming and going. They're working with the bog lurchers. They're, oh, you know, all, everything horrible. It's the gravedigger's fault or the gravekeepers, whatever. But at the same time, I think there was probably like one large organized effort to like bring them in line by either the town guard or the Friends of the Duke. Somebody tried and it was like a rout. You know, it was like they went down into the catacombs. It was all well lit and they're like, all right, we got this. Then like all the torches went out, boulders fall behind them. And it was just like total darkness, massacre. No one tried after that. It was like they let enough people go that the story spread. You don't mess with the grave diggers.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
They're very brutal.
Yeah, they got scary fast. They were always kind of weird. Now they're weird.
All right, Mandy. Are you telling me a tale of binding or as a harbinger?
I am telling you a tale as a harbinger.
And you are this, you have the scholar is all that's left.
Yep. All right, strap in. Let's see if I can knock this out of the park here. Cormac, was it? And Njostroy? It's very nice to meet you. My name is Gisella. Lord Stefan told me that you all were ready for me to speak to you. I feel like you probably are owed a little bit of an explanation at this point. You've already met. Sorry, sometimes there's a lot going through my mind at all times. I see, you have met some of my people. I believe that, Catalina has been in contact with, Luca, and, I know that she spoke with, Madame Rosella so many years ago. And of course, Eustace. Eustace is the one who pointed you in, my direction. You know, he is such a good double agent, considering he was working for that Captain Gray. He is quite an interesting character, but thankfully not important to this story. So, you see, it was Lord Stefan here who, he had a vision one night. It was the candles in the room turned purple, and it was quick, but we could see danger in the shadows. And he's actually the one who brought the fortune teller here to see if she could tell what was going to happen. And all she could tell him was that we had to wait. We had to wait for this Lady Catalina to show up. So we have been placing people in many different ports, hoping that we would be able to find her one day and help put her back on the throne, because that is supposedly what is going to stop these horrors from coming out. I understand that your city of Oratrios has started seeing some of these, and it's best if we try to keep that as contained as possible. Otherwise, I think it is going to spread.
I think you missed like one or two other companions, Mandy, and name dropping.
I know, right?
No, it was really good. I really liked how you tied it all together, especially being the last companion. I feel like it's a good mm-hmm. bow.
Nailed it.
All right, Vinny, give me a witness.
Witness you?
Witness me.
Okay, I've got an idea. So, Señor Santiago, under the, I guess what is his? I guess, station in the town now that fake Catalina has shown up.
He's still captain of the city guard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's captain of the city guard, but he's not really in power.
I would say he has more power. He has more power, perhaps, than a regular captain of
he's
the guard.
He's probably, like, second in command of the city, probably. You know, okay. Like, military advisor would probably be his official title or something like that.
Okay, so, Señor Santiago, under the, I guess, advice, order, however you want to flavor it, of fake Catalina, has begun work to try to rebuild the town hall. However, construction is very slow because getting materials in to a besieged city is difficult, and at least once a trebuchet hits it and knocks down one of the walls. Doesn't completely knock down everything they had, but it's like they just cannot keep this thing standing as they're trying to build it. It's all in an attempt to try to bring up any kind of morale they can, because they recognize that the town hall was such a symbolic building in the city, and they're trying to rebuild it, but not having much success.
All right. Sounds rough. Just like everything in the city right now.
Except for the alcohol.
I mean, that's rough in a different way.
It is, but...
I mean, if there was a 50% chance that when I drank a beer it'd teleport me 4 miles from my house, I'd probably drink a lot less beer.
But they're so desperate for that buzz.
Caitlin, give me that last little bit of lore.
All right. So, the imposter Catalina is in a tough position. She's trying to unite a city behind her amidst a siege. And she herself is an avid horsewoman. And so she starts doing these hunts in the surrounding area of the city, more towards the north, not the side that they're being seized on, with her hunting dogs and like kind of engaging the nobility that's left in these entertainment events of hunts. And in other times and places that might have been kind of wasteful, but whatever she brings down in a hunt, she then like donates in this big celebration to like some borough of the city as like a token of her support for the common people and that sort of thing. And so she becomes known as Catalina la Cazadora, which is the hunter.
Okay, that's really good and everything, but you made the main villain of this game a horse girl.
That's why she's a villain.
So now I feel no compunctions at all about killing her, so that's great.
Perfect.
All right. The sun sets on our companion's tale as the crew prepares themselves to smuggle themselves into the city and try to figure out what the heck is going on. And we'll pick that up next week where we actually start playing 7th Sea proper. Hey Wanderers, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Corsairs of Kestiel. This game is being run in the 7th Sea 2nd Edition system. If you want to hear more content from the Wandering Gamer Network, you can check us out at the Wandering Gamer Network website. We stream on Twitch with the username wandering_gamers, and you can follow us on Twitter at @WGNPodcast. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. All information about the music used can be found in the episode description. Until next time, wherever you wander, may you find your way home.